Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Al Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Comptroller of the Air Force, John Vonglis. Also joining us in our conversation is Rob Scavello, IBM's Public Sector Leader for Business Strategy. John, we talked a little bit about the global war on terrorism, but what has been the biggest challenge for the Air Force from a financial perspective, given the war that's being prosecuted?
Well, it's actually, Al, it's not one and the same, clearly, because, you know, we're not dropping bombs and firing missiles. But it's there's a very close relationship. If the overarching priorities are to win the global war on terror, to recapitalize the fleet and to provide the best support we can to our airmen, I would argue that we are probably, as a financial organization, inextricably tied to all three of those. This is, again, it's a wily, agile enemy. It is a long-term fight, and we have to make sure that we strike the right balance. We have the right mix of assets in the inventory. And again, that's air breathing, space, and cyber assets. So when we look at the cost of some of these systems, we have to make a determination as to what is the proper prioritization of these assets for the fight that we're in, and given the force structure that we have in place. So it's not a matter of necessarily the age of an airplane, even though we have the oldest inventory in Air Force history now. I think the average age is 24 years, which is striking, considering, I believe, when General Mosley, the chief, was a young fighter pilot, the average age in the late 60s was 8 years. So it's grown by a factor of three, which is incredible, considering these are the same airplanes that entered service in the 70s or were still flying them today, with the exception of the F-22 coming on board. So you asked that question, and basically is we have to find – the Air Force financial organization is charged with finding the right balance so that we could answer this charge. It's a matter of, as the Secretary likes to point out, military utility of the aircraft. A B-52 is pushing 60 years old, but it's still as relevant today as it was in a transformed role from a strategic bomber to a close air support aircraft in many cases. The A-10, the Air Force and the Army, they can't get enough of A-10s. We don't produce the aircraft anymore. We don't make any more A-10s. To a ground guy, and speaking as a ground guy, that is something that there's no more reassuring sound than the noise of that A-10 coming up behind you when you need it. So those are the things that are important to the service and, as a flow down and by extension, important to us, because we have to argue the case for the right balance of monies. If we have elements within the Air Force or any organization for that matter that are not managing properly, that are mismanaging, I'll use that phrase, the dollars entrusted them, then we've fallen short on providing the support that is necessary to the warfighter. So that – and every organization will have these challenges. It's a matter of cultural change. It's a matter of making people aware of why it's important to look at it across the organization and not necessarily in stovepipes and not necessarily in rice bowls. If I am the commander of X versus the commander of Y, I'm not necessarily raiding your pot of money because I want to. I'm readjusting or shifting resources to where they're needed most. And you're going to find that resistance. That'll happen in every organization, no matter where you are. But that's something that we're challenged with, and that's something that we have to make sure that we press the best case so that we can ensure that the money that is required to bring aboard the assets that are necessary is done so.
In the last segment, you described financial transformation as more than just managing core transactions such as accounting and budgeting, but also the movement to more analysis and more strategic advice. Can you give us some more concrete examples of this? For example, are you instituting financial dashboards that the community can use?
We are. We actually, even to back it up one, we have a decision support course that we teach down at Maxwell Air Force Base at Air University. And it's also open to not just Air Force. It's not limited to Air Force. It's open to, DOD-wide, all services and of course, the civilian organization. And that's where folks that either it's a refresher course course or they've never had an opportunity to learn those skill sets that makes one more proficient in the areas of financial management and budgeting and cost and economics analysis, we provide the tools. We provide the knowledge base so that you can go out there and be secure and confident when you do approach that commander and make the decision, provide him input for his decision. So that's clearly something that's important. As far as the dashboard is concerned, this is something that we've been grappling with for some time. How do you provide information in a timely manner to the decision maker? Okay, we can send somebody to a course and he's got all the requisite skills. When he shows up at a base or he shows up at a MAGCOM, if he still has to wait 2-3 weeks to get some meaningful info in front of the boss, that becomes not so meaningful anymore. So this system that we're very proud of will probably bridge that gap. We're hoping that it will to a large extent, and from what I've seen, it does. It enables everyone from a base comptroller to a 4-star commander to the secretary to pull up any one base and look at travel vouchers or look at spending against the card or delinquencies, and why. You know, I mean, obviously some things happen, you know, in different times of the year versus others, but this will enable him to have that, as folks like to say, what gets measured gets managed. That tool, you know, that arrow in his quiver that he can pick up the phone and call up, you name it, you know, whatever component, whatever commander he'd like, and ask him about it. And better still, that commander would call the secretary, knowing full well what's important to the organization and to the service, before the secretary has a chance to pick up the phone and call
him.
That's
usually a good thing.
It's usually a good thing.
John, it's been pretty well documented that the DOD has been unable to obtain an unqualified or clean audit opinion on its financial statements. And I think most people agree that it's in part due to, as you talked about earlier, inadequate systems, archaic business processes. Can you share a little bit about what steps the Air Force is taking, you know, along with the DOD to remedy this situation?
Sure. And this is an area where you of course run into a lot of questionable ground, because the first question that someone will ask who has an understanding of unqualified opinions and accounting and why they're important is, okay, why is it important for the Air Force? Why is it important for the Department of Defense? Are you selling the Air Force anytime soon to somebody that you need to have, you know, unqualified opinion or clean statements? Well, of course, no, you're not. But if effectiveness is a measure of our efficiency, then this is something that we need to focus on. And more importantly, I think it boils down to this: it's public money is a public trust, and this money is entrusted us by the American taxpayer. It's appropriated by the Congress, and if for nothing else, we owe it back to the taxpayer to ensure that we can prove to the extent possible that money is spent properly. And if in the process we uncover inefficiencies, that too is a gain, because now we've identified areas that we need to focus on, areas that the money had probably not been allocated as judiciously as it should, and then we'd reallocate it, and we also, you know, allow the service to operate in a more transparent manner. So these are all the elements that go into obviously attaining an opinion, but it has to be repeatable. It has to be something that's done over and over for it to have merit. What I'm proud of is that the Air Force actually just received this past quarter 2 green ratings from the DOD comptroller in the areas of general fund and working capital fund. Which is actually the Air Force was the only service to obtain that, and only 3 out of 23 agencies that were eligible to do so. So it's important. I think it's also important, as I alluded, that it's repeatable. It has to be executed in a manner that's doable. And I think the events-driven plan we have in place is a realistic assessment of what's attainable over time, and not to force the matter, but to be able to give something, to be able to produce results in a proper and timely manner. I think the funds balance with Treasury line is something that we can assert and have. But as you all know, a lot of these assertion issues and audit issues are highly dependent on other organizations, especially since we're not operating in a vacuum. So even if, you know, even if one of our lines or two or five are capable, they still have to pass through a higher level review, and we have to ensure that at the DoD level everyone is synced up. And it is a daunting undertaking for the size for an organization the size of the Department of Defense, which would be. In my last job at OSD, I remember another factoid. If we were an economy, we'd be the 16th largest in the world. So this is no small undertaking. This is huge.
John, we only have about a minute, but I do want to ask you along a similar line. Where is the Department of Defense and maybe more specifically the Air Force? Where are you in terms of implementing Sarbanes-Oxley or the A-123 requirement?
We are in lockstep. We're absolutely all over A-123, Sarbanes-Oxley, the whole issue of internal controls, the whole issue of improving a plan wherever we need to, of identifying a weakness, of reporting a weakness, of placing the proper managerial focus and emphasis on that particular weakness. And in some cases, we've actually responded within a couple of weeks. So this is something we take very seriously, and it's something that I think we're well poised to address.
Excellent. What does the future hold for the financial management and operations within the U.S. Air Force? We will ask Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management and Comptroller, John Bonglas, to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.